We look through the window of baseball. We do it for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. I bring in Bruce. Bruce, good morning. I apologize for running late today. The Jackie Robinson stuff is all over today.
Hey, Bruce.
Well, that's how it should be. How you doing, Pecan?
Fantastic. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah, so the Dodgers have a statue for Jackie, and I was told, is that the only statue they have? I think someone said that's it, is it?
I'm not sure. I think so. I don't recall any others out in front of Dodger Stadium.
No.
I mean, heaven knows they could have Koufax out there. You start with that. That's probably coming next. But yeah, they've it's not like Yankee Stadium or any places where they. You can't miss the statues. There's like seven of them.
Detroit. I remember when I went to Comerica Park. It's like that. They have Charlie Gehringer, Greenberg, and have a whole bunch of K-line. They had about seven statues, I think.
Yeah, I was in Cleveland last year for the finals, and I went by the ballpark, and they've got Bob Feller. They got a bunch of guys out there. Dwayne Kuiper said, you'll find mine in there somewhere, although I didn't quite.
Very good. Bruce, I had Rennell on this morning, Willie McCovey on, Dwayne on, and love to get your thoughts again. As we recollect each year, and this is the 70th year, and Jackie Robinson lives as brightly today and as importantly today as he has as any time in U.S. history. Maybe some of your thoughts about him.
Well, the more you learn about him, and there was a very good movie about his life, which I thought was well done. You realize that he was the perfect guy to do this. I mean, he had to put up with so much crap. And even a right-thinking, conventional type, just a regular person with good manners, who was raised correctly, would have blown up at some of the things that came his way. They just couldn't take it anymore, and make a big scene. Next thing you know, he's in the headlines. He got in a fight, this is a guy they brought up, and Jackie Robinson. I tell you, talk about turning the other cheek. I mean. Just an amazing man, really, and yet he was a very strong voice, powerful activist for many causes during his career and afterward. When I was growing up, my dad used to talk about Jackie Robinson. My dad moved to L.A. in the late 30s, and in 1939, he found himself attached to the UCLA football team with Jackie Robinson. They actually had four African-American players on that team. The NFL had no black players, okay? UCLA had four, including Jackie Robinson, Kenny Washington, and a guy named Woody Strode, who wound up being an actor. You'd recognize him. He always played, like a dangerous cat, or even an Indian or something, in the movies back then. But, an unbelievable athlete. I mean, this is a guy who would get off the ball field and race over to the track stadium, still in his baseball uniform, and get ready to run the 100-yard dash. an unbelievable basketball player, about as special an athlete as we've seen in our lifetime, or anyone's lifetime.
But, it's funny, growing up in Brooklyn in those days, he related to everybody. I mean, it wasn't like he was an athlete that, he's not going to talk to you or he's not going to sign an autograph. He didn't have any of that around him, and still he had to perform at the highest level every day. But as a kid thinking back at him, I never felt alienated from him, or that he would not be approachable. I mean, it would be our dream, the greatest thing that could ever happen if you ever ran into Jackie Robinson. Where could you ever see him? He did live in Brooklyn for a while and then moved out to Long Island, but he never had that isolationist part of him, and that, I think that's important.
Yeah, and we just missed him out here in San Francisco. His career was basically over. It would have been so great to see, when the Dodgers come in with Jackie Robinson and Duke Snider and Carl Farrell and some of those guys. But when they moved out to L.A., those guys were all more or less done. Campanella had the serious accident; he was in a wheelchair. But Jackie Robinson, especially. Would have been such a treat to watch him go against Willie Mays, in San Francisco. But, his career speaks for itself. There's a lot of great footage. And, you know, every year you get more literature on him where people can find out exactly who he was.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. It's, well, Howard Bryant said it's like Abraham Lincoln. Every year they write another book about him. He's been dead 150 years.
Exactly, yeah.
Very good. All right, Pat, you want to jump in? Let's talk a little Giants with Bruce.
Well, for me, Bruce, it's been a real wild ride this week, starting Monday with the painter that was out there and had break dancers. And then he had a phenomenal baseball game on Monday, and it's been up and down all week. To me, the number one story this week has been Brandon Crawford and his family and what they've had to go through and continue to go through. And to see Crawford come up and make himself available to pinch hit Thursday, Bruce, and then hitting that bomb going to left field, it was just, I mean, what an incredible display of leadership.
Yeah, I mean, what a true professional this guy is. I mean, you can't imagine, you know, his wife's sister, you know, completely unexpected.
Yeah.
Just the shock. And you know, when he went down there to be with everyone, you can just imagine the level of mourning and grief that he went through. It's just a very difficult thing to shake. But, you know, his wife is so great. You know, she goes, you know, get back up there, get back on the field. That's what we all want. And, you know, and he did it. And he shows up and just in vintage form. You know, Posey's out and the team isn't doing all that great. And he steps up and is the main man last night. You know, he gets more impressive every year. You watched him in the World Baseball Classic. He was just phenomenal. And there are so many great shortstops around, but he's right there with all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, he's so steady. And he's getting better in the field, and the arm looks stronger this year. And, you know, you have Pence's aging a little bit, and, you know, you got Posey is, you know, maybe plateaued a little bit. This guy is in the prime of his career, and I don't think he's seen the ceiling yet.
No.
Oh, not at all. I mean, his improvement as a hitter is really pretty stunning. I mean, I can't recall. I mean, you see guys like Ozzie Smith. He was always a little bit better hitter every year, Vizquel. You know, smaller increments. But this guy, all of a sudden, he just squares guys up routinely. He steps in there against lefties, completely not intimidated. Both of his homers have gone to the opposite field. He's become like a really dangerous hitter, which if you remember him coming out of UCLA, nobody thought he was going to hit that well. They loved his glove. They kind of hoped he'd hit, you know, 250 or 260, and you can live with it. But now, I mean, you can hit him cleanup and no problem.
Lee Elder, one of the part of the brain trust with Brian Sabian, always told me, says, with the athletes, just give them time, and the athleticism takes over. And I think for Crawford, you had to be patient with him, but the athleticism took over. And I kind of look at Jarrett Parker that way. He's a tremendous athlete. And if he could just stay grounded and let his athleticism take over, his dash around the bases the other day was dynamic, I thought.
Yeah. He can be an exciting player. You know, Marty, he's got to settle down in the batter's box. And I've talked to some baseball people about this. I'm not the only one. He's up there wiggling this, wiggling that. And, you know, next thing you know, strike three. I mean, just settle down. You know, get the front foot down. Stop wiggling the butt. And again, this is not my opinion alone. I really think that's got to change because he's a tremendous hitter. He's got great power. He's got the temperament to play in the big leagues, and I think we've yet to see the best of him for sure.
Yeah, he's an athlete. So Marrero homered last night. That's a good story. But today, I think the Matt Moore story against Chatwood. Now, Chatwood loves pitching here. He's one of these guys that comes in here, and his record everywhere else is not so good. He's great on the road, not a Coors, not a surprise, but he loves pitching here. But, Bruce, Matt Moore, to me, is starting to look like Billy Pierce. You know, one of those guys, you know, and I told him the Billy Pierce story the other day, and, of course, he looked at me like, what are you talking about? But very politely when I told him the story. Pierce was 13-0 at Candlestick in 62, and he was just won the pennant, really, for the Giants. This guy likes pitching in this park, and he's pitched very well in this park, and maybe he's one of those stories that will just, you know, you put him in this park and he's going to get it done.
Yeah, it's a great comparison because, you know, back then, you know, everybody knew about Marischal and Jack Sanford, maybe Billy O'Dell, and Billy Pierce was the key to that season in a lot of ways. And here we have Bumgarner and Cueto and Moore, though, has probably been, I mean, Cueto's been the most impressive. He's been unbelievable. But Moore, I mean, it's really gratifying to the fans to see how well this guy's pitching. You know, it was a trade that riled a lot of people, but it's really working out well. He's got he's a good guy. He looks he's a good giant. He's got the right temperament, and he fits in. He fits in so well. I mean, you picture down the stretch going with Bumgarner, who's obviously going to get things straightened out, and Cueto and Matt Moore in. And that's an awfully good three people to throw at the Dodgers or anybody else.
Yeah, very much so. And Billy Pierce was so good as a gift when the season ended. The grounds crew dug up the rubber from the pitching mound and sent it to him in Chicago. All of a sudden, I guess they didn't have FedEx then, but, UPS or something knocked at the door with a big box, and he said, "What's that?" And they opened it up, and it was the pitching rubber from Candlestick Park. So... That's what they did for Billy Pierce. But I like to... Hey, look, if Matt Moore doesn't walk people, Bruce, he's very tough. And walks are the only thing that somehow he loses that release point once in a while.
Yeah, well, he's... If that's the worst thing, I mean, guys have trouble really making really good consistent contact against him. And if he's a little off the plate, that does hurt him. You never want to walk the leadoff guy or anything like that. I really don't see that being a big issue with him. He looks like a comfortable at bat until you get in there.
Yeah,
and that's the last thing that it is. You know.
Yeah. Very good. We got plenty to talk about. I'm glad that we could get you on today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. I thought Nunez would just. We'll leave you with this thought. We don't have to talk about it today, but Nunez has stolen base the other night. Everybody in the park knew he was going.
Right.
Everybody in the park knew he was going. It was a muddy track. It looked like the Swamp Fox, Alvin Dark, was out there, wetting the base paths down, and he still stole
it. Maury Wills, yeah.
Yeah, at a big moment. So we'll talk. I want to talk Nunez with you tomorrow. So appreciate it, Bruce, and thanks for hanging in there
with us.
Thanks,
Bruce.
Yeah, guys, talk to you then. Thanks.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Wow.